Amen. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here, and I want to bring, I guess, almost a little Bible study on leaven tonight. Leaven. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, remember that phrase, puffed up there, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you, for I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's unbelievable how corrupted a local church can become. And I'm glad this is recorded for us in history, because it's the same today. There's just a lot of fornication going on. And Paul tells the church in that particular sin to deal with it severely and to literally ask this person to leave the church, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, the good news is in 2 Corinthians, the next book, Chapter 1, they received this man back into membership because he repented. Amen. Of such a horrible sin as fornication, he was put out of the church, and then he repented. And the Apostle Paul then instructs the church to forgive him and receive him back into the church and go forward. So we're glad that people can change. Amen. People can repent. But the subject tonight is leaven. Your glorying is not good, verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, in the Old Testament, when they had the Passover laws, leaven was always to be excluded. For instance, in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and don't follow me through these, I'm going to just go through them quick. 12 and verse 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. That's during that week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Doesn't mean you shouldn't eat leavened food as part of your diet as an American, as a Gentile. But what it meant for them was that when it got to the Passover, and what it meant, it was very important that they used absolutely no leaven whatsoever in their sacrifices. That was forbidden. And it goes on, and in 7 other places in Exodus and Leviticus, the Lord strongly says, no leaven, no leaven, no leaven, no leaven, no leaven, regarding the Passover feast for the Jews, for the Jews. But now in verse 7, we see, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What that means is that the Passover dinner that the Jews had that last night in Egypt was a picture of Christ in the future, where they would have to take a lamb, where they would have to examine that lamb for 4 days and make sure there wasn't one spot on it, one blemish, one broken bone. If that were so, that lamb was rejected and was not received as a sacrifice. But if they could find a lamb that had no spot, no blemish, no broken bones or floppy ears or anything else like that, and it was considered a perfect lamb, then they sacrificed that lamb on the eve there, what was called Passover, and they shed the blood of that lamb, they roasted that lamb, they participated, they ate of that lamb, and that was all a picture looking forward for the next 1,500 years. They would look forward to that when Jesus Christ would come, whom John the Baptist said about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that's why it says in this verse 7, "For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." He is our Passover lamb. He's perfect. He's sinless. He's spotless. He has no blemish. He has no sin whatsoever. And so the elements of the ordinance of the Lord's Supper are unleavened bread and what we call grape juice. So that neither one has any fermentation in it caused by leaven. So leaven is a picture of many things, and it is spoken of almost unanimously in the scriptures, not every place, but almost completely as something that is evil. In fact, if you want to write these down, you can. Leaven is actually a picture of seven things. Number one, of pride. Leaven is a picture of pride when it's referred to being puffed up here in verse 2. "And ye are puffed up." And that's why he says in verse 6, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Of course, literally, if you take dough and put a little leaven in it or a little yeast, it's going to puff up the whole thing. That's what it does. And so leaven is a picture of pride in the scriptures. It actually comes originally from a word lever, which means to rise or to lift. And that is a picture of pride. It says, for instance, the devil's heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And he became a self-created sinner. And so, pride was in Lucifer. That was his first sin. That was the leaven. Now he is entirely corrupted. It began with him looking at himself and saying, "Wow, I'm more beautiful than all the angelic host." And his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And as a result of that one sin, he is now completely corrupted. Like leaven leavens the whole lump. Number two, leaven is a picture of sin. It is a picture of sin. Adam and Eve sinned once in the garden. They had been placed in the garden to keep it and till it by the Lord. God planted all these trees for them to enjoy. I don't know, hundreds, thousands, who knows? But there was one that God planted in the Garden of Eden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It had to be there, otherwise man would not have had a free will. You cannot have a free will unless you have a choice. And in order for man to have a free will, Adam and Eve to have a free will, there had to be a choice. And so God gave them a choice, that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and also gave them a commandment and said, "Don't participate, don't even touch that, don't tree, or the day you do, you shall die." And they could enjoy everything else, but they did have a free will, and you and I have a free will, and then of their own free will, Eve listened to the snake, the serpent. She was deceived, and yet still considered to have sinned. Adam was not deceived, and his was still considered sin. And from that one sin, now the entire human race, the whole lump, is leavened. The whole lump is leavened because of one sin. Romans 5:12 on your sheet. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so that one sin in the Garden of Eden was like leaven, and it leavened the whole lump. and all are sinners now. So leaven is a picture of pride. It is a picture of sin. It is a picture of apostasy. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, a couple books over, towards the back, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness of faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so notice, third of all, leaven is a picture of apostasy. It is a picture of one small false doctrine contaminating all doctrine. And you and I are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of works, lest any man should boast. It's free. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It has to do with what Christ did. So they were coming along, and they were saying in Acts chapter 18, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. They added one thing to salvation that God did not include. And Paul said, don't you understand, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you add one false doctrine, you're going to leaven the whole lump. The whole lump is going to be contaminated. And so leaven is a picture of apostasy. And then leaven is a picture of false doctrine. In Matthew chapter number 16 and verses 6 through 12, Matthew 16, 6 through 12, Jesus was teaching, and he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have not taken bread. We have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And of course, the Sadducees said there was no resurrection, there's no angel, there's no spirit, you just live and you die and you cease to exist. And again, a false doctrine contaminates the whole. Today, we could perhaps point our finger at Calvinism. And we could say that that one doctrine will contaminate everything you believe as a believer in Jesus Christ. It really will. And if you don't know what that means, I'm glad. I hope you never do. But that is a leaven that is in the body of Christ today all over the place. And it's killing church planting. It's killing missions. It's killing soul winning, the way it's taught. And it has leavened a lot of the churches and ministries and corrupted them. Leaven is a picture of false doctrine. Then leaven is a picture of hypocrisy, number 5, in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 1, Jesus said these words. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So number five, leaven is a picture of hypocrisy. You and I can live a good life, have a good testimony, and right at the end, wreck it all. That's happened to people. And we need to be careful. We need to finish strong. It is possible to do something, to do one thing. It's possible to do one thing and contaminate your whole testimony, your whole life. It's scary, isn't it? Especially because our flesh is weak and we need to pray one for another and pray for yourself. Pastor Doug Fisher used to talk about the cow on the farm. Remember that cow? And that cow would, she would give all of her milk. They'd be milking that cow the hard way back when he was growing up on the farm. And he'd milk the cow, and the cow would give its entire, or her entire bucket of milk. And then at the last minute, she would take her hoof and stick it in the bucket. And he preached a sermon one time called "Don't Step in the Bucket." Don't give everything you have and then at the end contaminate it by sticking your foot in the bucket. If you've ever seen a cow's hoof, you know that if they stick it in a bucket of milk, you're not going to drink the milk. It's all been wasted. And you and I, boy, I'll tell you, we got to finish strong. We got to pray for God's help every day. One of the temptations as you get older and older and older in the Lord is that ugly sin of pride where you think, well, I'm fine. I could never fall. Look how long I've stood. Look how long I've been faithful. I mean, I don't even have to pray anymore. And Satan is setting you up for something. And it's not going to be pretty. And hypocrisy is a leaven that can ruin a person's testimony for a lifetime. I mean, sadly, as great as David was, one of the greatest men that ever lived, what's probably the one thing everybody in the world to this day still remembers about him? Bathsheba. David and Bathsheba, right? And we're no better than him. He was a man after God's own heart. We've got to be careful about hypocrisy. I've explained this before. People will let you be human, but they won't let you be hypocritical. Man doesn't put up with hypocrisy. They put up with humanity. You know, they put up with if you have a bad day once in a while or something like that. They can do that. Or if you have a little fault or you know, a little idiosyncrasy that they might think is strange. They'll put up with that if you're human. But not hypocrisy. And leaven is a picture of hypocrisy. Then back in our text, 6 and 7, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to turn there again, if you're not there anymore, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it goes through and it talks about this horrible leaven that got into the church at Corinth and just corrupted the whole thing. And he said, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Verse 6, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, number 6, and wickedness, number 7. And so there's 7 pictures tonight of what leaven represents in the Bible. So as we get to the Lord's Supper, that's why when we receive the Lord's Supper, we take unleavened bread. You see that little white wafer on the top there? That's unleavened bread. Or when we use the oyster crackers, usually around here, those are unleavened. Those are unleavened. Because Christ had no pride. Christ had no sin. He had no apostasy. He had no false doctrine. He had no hypocrisy. He had no malice, and he had no wickedness in him. And those are the things that leaven pictures. And so it was that first night in the upper room as Jesus was there with the 12 and then Judas left to betray the Lord. They had the Passover dinner, and then which mandated in Exodus and Leviticus unleavened bread, no leaven. So the bread there that night was unleavened. And then Christ took it, and not like we do today, but literally broke it and gave it to somebody else, and then they broke it and gave it to somebody. That was unleavened bread. And he said, this represents me. He wasn't being boastful, just being honest. And so that's why we have unleavened bread and unfermented grape juice. As pictures tonight, there's only two ordinances in the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is the only ordinance we continue to do, almost if I could use the word ritualistically, until Christ comes. We are to constantly be reminded of Christ's crucifixion, his body broken for us and his blood shed for us as we receive the Lord's Supper. So with that in mind, if you're in 1 Corinthians, turn to chapter 11. And this is the great doctrinal passage now for the Lord's Supper. I'll have Miss Brianna maybe come up for the piano here. You're going to have to peel this off very carefully. There's two covers on it. One is to the unleavened bread, and then one is to the juice. Did you know Welsh is down here in Westfield? They started down right down the road here in Westfield, Welsh's grape juice. They called their grape juice unfermented wine right up till 1900. Grape juice was called wine up till 1900. Because some people read about Jesus changing water into wine, and they got him, you know, like he's serving a bunch of drunks in a bar or something like that. But even you can go on the internet, and I've seen pictures of their bottles where it's called Welsh's Unfermented Wine. And it was grape juice. And so you're not going to find the phrase grape juice in the Bible, but wine has many definitions, including grape juice. And not having any fermentation in it is a picture of not having any sin. Christ was sinless. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so it says here, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper, in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul says in the Apostles' Doctrine, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. Again, he took unleavened bread. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Till he come. Verse 26, Jesus is coming again. But until then, we have this ordinance. And it shouldn't become a religious ritual. It should be something that touches our hearts every time we partake in it, thinking that, boy, Jesus did this for me. Jesus did this for me. Now, it goes on to say that we should examine ourselves before taking the Lord's Supper. And so, I hope you've done that. If not, I'd like us right now just to bow our heads and let's take a few moments of silent prayer right where you're sitting between you and the Lord. If you're not saved, ask Jesus to save you right now. He's the Savior. That's why he's called that, because you can't save yourself. I can't save myself. We need a Savior. So Jesus died in our place on the cross, shed his blood to wash away our sins. He was buried, and 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore, and he can save you right now if with a childlike faith, in repentance and sorrow over the fact that you've sinned, and faith in God and Jesus Christ, and say, Lord Jesus, save me. He will save you right now. And then for those that are saved, we ought to be sanctified. I know we're not perfect, but we ought to be sanctified and come clean before God. So let's have a few moments of prayer. Our Father in heaven, please forgive us of our sins tonight. Thank you for saving us. Lord, we love you tonight, and we've never seen you, but We believe with all of our hearts that you were nailed to a cross at Calvary. And you died in our place as our substitute, bearing the wrath of God in our place so we wouldn't have to. And Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for that. We love you tonight. Perfect our love that we might surrender our all to you, as Monique sang earlier, for you're worthy. You're worthy not of our best, but of our all. God help us. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless this ordinance tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now very carefully, if you could take that red piece off the top foil and just hold that unleavened bread there. That's what we were talking about tonight. This is unleavened bread. There's no leaven in it because of what leaven represents. There were none of these things in Christ. Wow, what a Savior. He was so perfect. He's so holy and so godly. Now it says here, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's just give thanks for this. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that this represents your body that was broken for us, shared for us on the cross. For, Lord, you demanded a body for a sacrifice. One had to be found that was perfect. And Lord Jesus, only you could do that for us. Only you could be the sacrifice that was pleasing to God and perfect, spotless. And so, Lord Jesus, when those of us in this room had no hope, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And we now receive this bread in remembrance of thee and with grateful hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And now let us give thanks for the cup. If you can remove your tops very carefully. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this cup represents. We know it's just grape juice, but it's a picture you gave us of the unfermented, perfect blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God without spot and blemish. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you had no sin in you. And you were the only one that could present perfect blood as a sacrifice. Even animals were contaminated by the curse of sin on this world. And they were not considered to be good enough. But Lord Jesus, you were. And your blood was without sin. And we want to thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And now, Lord, we thank you that it makes atonement for our souls. And we thank you every sin, and you don't miss one, not one big sin or small sin. Everyone has been washed away by what this cup represents. And so, Lord Jesus, on behalf of everyone here, we receive this with very grateful hearts and in remembrance of thee, in Jesus' name, amen. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now in closing, let's just sing one verse of There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, page 175.